Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Media Matters reports that mainstream outlets are sanitizing the language of Donald Trump, this time by obscuring evidence that he would sign a national abortion ban. Their report is in response to media coverage of Trump recently saying that abortion should be left to the states. Media Matters reports that ABC World News Tonight described Trump's stance as a reversal of his speculative support of a national 15-week abortion ban, even though, as Media Matters writes, Trump has taken credit for the overturning of Roe, spoken openly about getting a national abortion ban done, and surrounded himself with zealots who have close ties to a network of people talking openly about using a second Trump administration to restrict abortion access to unprecedented levels. In 2016, MSNBC's Chris Matthews pressed Trump on the legal ramifications of abortion bans.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
10 years,
I don't
what?
Know. That I don't know. That
why
I don't
not?
Know. I don't know.
You take positions and everything else.
I do take positions and everything else. It's a very complicated position.
I'm asking, you're running for president. I'm not.
Chris,
I'm asking you, what should a woman face if she chooses to have an abortion?
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play that game.
You said you're pro-life.
I am pro-life.
That means banning abortion.
And so is the Catholic Church pro-life.
Trump's efforts to downplay the fact that abortion bans are a losing issue for Republicans comes as they continue to go into effect across the country, putting lives at risk. Yesterday, Republicans on Arizona's Supreme Court reinstated an 1864 abortion ban with no exceptions for rape or incest. It goes into effect in 2 weeks. Those who provide abortions in Arizona could face up to 5 years in prison, according to Mother Jones. Arizona now joins 15 other states that ban abortion in nearly all cases with little to no exceptions. Here is Chris Love, senior advisor with Arizona for Abortion Access.
Today's ruling upholds an extreme, unacceptable ban that harms pregnant patients experiencing medical complications, that punishes survivors of rape, incest, and human trafficking, and that robs every single Arizonan of one of our most fundamental rights, the right to make our own decisions about our health, our bodies, and our lives.
And here is Arizona's Democratic Attorney General Chris Mays on MSNBC.
It's insane. It's egregious. It's an affront to our freedom. And so, I think women are scrambling right now to try to figure this situation out. I have said that I will not prosecute any woman, doctor, pharmacist, nurse, or individual who helps a woman to seek an abortion or reproductive access. I've also said, and we are looking at everything we can right now from a legal standpoint to prevent this decision from going into effect. And I've had some phone calls from my fellow attorneys general in states around Arizona, and frankly, from throughout the state, and the vice president of the United States calling me saying, hey, how can we help you?
Democratic Attorney General Chris Mays on MSNBC also said the people of Arizona will vote on a ballot initiative that will enshrine abortion rights into the state's constitution in November. In the meantime, those who need abortion care will have no choice but to travel out of state. Arizona follows Florida's high court, which recently allowed a 6-week abortion ban backed by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis. It'll take effect on May 1st. Last month, the Florida House approved a bill that would shorten the mandatory waiting period to purchase a firearm from a licensed seller. And these issues are connected. Here is a report from NBC6 South Florida.
Danielle Talifas shows off her growing belly in this photo from 2020. She tells me she and her husband were over the moon.
This was a very planned and very wanted pregnancy. We were excited.
But that excitement turned to devastation when at almost 23 weeks of pregnancy, they learned their baby's heart was not forming correctly.
The best thing in our case for our baby was to just give him peace and proceed with terminating the pregnancy.
Had she been in this position after May 1st of this year, Danielle, who lives in Central Florida, would not have been able to have an abortion in her home state. It's the type of case that Planned Parenthood physician Dr. Chelsea Daniels says the state Supreme Court ruling will affect.
80% of my day-to-day career here is abortion care. So now I have 80% of my patients who I am skilled and trained and knowledgeable to provide care for, and I'm being told that I can't. Because people with no medical background have said that I can't.
Dr. Daniels says a six-week ban is nearly a total ban because most women don't know they're pregnant before 6 weeks. According to data from Florida's Agency for Healthcare Administration, most abortions are performed within the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. But numbers from 2023 to today show that more than 7,600 were performed in the second trimester. The next closest state that allows abortions up to 26 weeks is Virginia.
All this does is force patients who are already marginalized to carry a pregnancy to term that puts their lives at risk, puts their livelihoods at risk, puts their families at risk.
Thanks to NBC6 South Florida for that report. It is important to note that pregnant women living in states with limited access to abortion are experiencing higher rates of intimate partner homicide, particularly by firearms, according to a study published in the Journal of the American College of Surgeons. And then there's Louisiana. In Louisiana, abortion is completely banned. According to the AP, a bill that would ultimately let voters decide whether abortion should be legal in Louisiana failed after a Republican-controlled committee rejected it 2 weeks ago. The legislation proposed an amendment to Louisiana's constitution that would enshrine reproductive rights for women, including allowing contraceptives such as birth control, access to abortions, and infertility treatments. If the measure advanced, it would have been placed before Louisianans to vote on the amendment, but a GOP-controlled committee voted 10-2 to involuntarily defer the bill, effectively killing the measure. Because as we have seen across the country, this is a losing issue for Republicans. In addition to these abortion bans, Republican legislatures are also passing draconian laws restricting LGBTQ rights, they're banning books, and they're defunding diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Joining us to talk about how people in Florida and Louisiana are responding are two guests. Dwight Bullard is senior political advisor of Florida Rising, a people-powered organization made up of members advancing economic and racial justice across Florida. Dwight Bullard has served as Florida's state, House, and Senate representative. In 2008, he served two terms representing District 118. In 2012, he was elected to the Florida Senate. He's also spent many years as a social studies teacher at Coral Reef Senior High School in Miami, Florida. Hi, Dwight. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I love the name of that high school, Coral Reef Senior High School. Thank you so much for the work that you do, Dwight. Just to start off, we're going to connect with Gabrielle Perry in Louisiana in just a minute. Can you just give us a sense of what is happening in Florida in terms of who really has power there? Do Democrats have any power? The Hill had a five-part series on how Florida became the nerve center for the modern Republican Party. And for a while, it seemed like Democrats were gaining ground in Florida. Obama won Florida in 2008 and 2012. But The Hill reports that when you flash forward to 2023, for the first time since Reconstruction, there's not a single Democrat in statewide elected office. Now, you have obviously very close connections to what's going on because you served in Florida's House and Senate. So tell us about why things have changed so drastically in Florida.
Well, there's a couple ways you can look at it. I try to take the positive take on things in the sense that Republican legislators are scurrying to kind of usurp and snatch as much power as they possibly can through illegal redistricting efforts, through racial gerrymandering, to really kind of control and manipulate the maps that give them this overwhelming advantage in the legislature. But I also want folks to understand, similar to California, Florida is a very diverse state. Florida is a quickly browning state with Black Latina communities growing in some of the largest swaths of other states in the country. And so the people in Florida do not reflect its politics. Oftentimes when you talk to people in the streets, when you go to communities, whether it be Orlando, Kissimmee, Tampa, Jacksonville, and Miami and the like, folks are oftentimes continuously rejecting this notion of Florida as a red state, Florida as a conservative bastion. But that doesn't discount the fact that these Republicans are using every effort to really roll back protections, roll back safety measures that have been in place for, in many cases, for decades, that are detrimentally impacting everyday people, students, ethnic minorities, women, you name it. And so that is the state of play right now, but we're actively trying to push back against it.
Can you give us a sense of what Democrats are like in Florida? I mean, I know that's a big question, but a lot of people were surprised that Governor Ron DeSantis beat Charlie Crist, 57-42. And people were wondering, why is that such a wide margin? What's going on in Florida? What are the Democrats, how are they talking about issues to voters?
Well, what I would say is, let's harken back to 2018 when Ron DeSantis only won by half a percentage point against Andrew Gillum. Fast forward a few years, and I think really what you had there again was this kind of perfect storm of redistricting, changing of maps, restricting of voting rights for returning citizens after we had passed that constitutional amendment in 2018. This kind of continuous effort to let those that want to expand Florida's democracy have a voice. And it was, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that part of the reason why you put these restrictions in place, why you dismantle what had been a successful vote by mail program for decades in Florida, is because you're trying to hold on to this kind of fleeting power that you have with the numbers that you have in Tallahassee. And so what you've seen over the last 3 years are policies that are reflective of that. 15-week abortion bans, 6-week abortion bans, book bans, as you pointed out, attacks on DEI and CERT, even though many of the Republicans in the legislature could not explain what either one of those are in real terms. And so for Democrats, to answer your question, what we've seen is incremental success that a lot of folks aren't talking about. We were able to elect the Democratic mayor in Jacksonville for the first time in a while. We were able to flip, similar to what Alabama did more recently, a Republican House seat in Central Florida, where the candidate there ran on the fact that a woman has the essential right to choose what to do with their bodies. And understanding that, as you pointed out in your earlier report, is a losing effort for Republicans. And so what we're hoping for, especially with our own ballot initiative set to be on the ballot in November, is really push back against many of these draconian efforts by Republicans in Florida.
Dwight Bullard is senior political advisor of Florida Rising, a people-powered organization made up of members advancing economic and racial justice across Florida. We'd also like to welcome Gabrielle Perry to the show. Gabrielle is founder and executive director of the Thurman Perry Foundation, an award-winning Louisiana-based nonprofit with a mission of aiding women and girls impacted by incarceration. Gabrielle Perry was inspired to start this foundation in part due to her own experience with the law. She was arrested in 2014 for financial crimes and faced 27 felonies. The judge on her case showed her leniency and dismissed her charges just in time for her to return to school. Gabrielle graduated from Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine in 2019, where she obtained her Master's of Public Health in Epidemiology with a concentration in infectious diseases. Hi, Gabrielle. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Gabrielle, I have to say, I have to thank Twitter for this one, because you showed up on my feed randomly talking about what's going on in Louisiana, saying that this deserves so much more media attention. And then I saw that amazing story that I believe it was CBS Morning did about you and the judge, and really incredible. Thank you so much for your work and for joining us. So, Gabrielle, for people who don't know much about the politics in Louisiana, last March, Republicans gained a two-thirds supermajority in both the Louisiana House and Senate after the state's longest-serving legislator switched parties. So can you give us a sense of the politics in Louisiana?
The landscape of Louisiana is honestly one that a lot of people aren't familiar with. You know, we don't gain the big headlines like our, you know, southern mates in Texas and Florida and such do, but Louisiana has honestly experienced, especially in recent years, a bipartisan descent into Christian nationalism and honestly outright fascism. And it's terrifying for the people who live here, especially as we are under a new administration, under the Jeff Landry administration. We're currently in our regular session, but with the conclusion of the special session that he filed, our new governor filed at the top of the year, I think a week after him being sworn into office, he has been quoted as bragging about the fact that he does not move slow. And due to that supermajority, bills are being forced through with absolutely no oversight, no real comments being able to be made by the public at large. And it's terrifying for the people who live here. I mean, and I want to preface this by saying that this is a bipartisan effort. In the tweet that you were referring to and how you found me, there were so many comments about how not only did I not know this was happening in Louisiana, but, oh, look what the Republicans are doing. No, it is Democrats and Republicans in Louisiana who have come together to usurp the people's rights here in Louisiana. And it's just honestly sad to see. I'm born and raised here, and we have never seen anything like this.
Can you elaborate on that? Tell us more about Democrats in Louisiana. I mean, how do they talk about these issues? If you can just give us more information about that.
Absolutely. So as a woman, and especially as a Black woman in the state of Louisiana, my right to choose how and when I am able to obtain reproductive health care was taken away from me by Democrats. It was Senator Katrina Jackson, I believe out of Monroe, who drafted the bill, citing her Catholic faith, and our outgoing two-term governor, Governor John Bel Edwards, who signed the bill, also signed out citing his Catholic faith as to why abortion should be outlawed. There are absolutely no exceptions for rape or incest, which has led to, I think, the most prolific case that has come since that time was a woman who was forced to go to New York to be able to obtain an abortion due to her baby being born due to her baby forming without a skull. Mm. And it's honestly been terrifying for women here. So many women are trying to stand up to this usurping of our rights, and there's really no party to stand up for us. In the governor's election that just ceased last fall, the main and primary criticism was that a lot of people did not know that there was even a Democrat running against him. Jeff Landry is somebody who likes to dominate the headlines. He is very close allies with the Trump administration. He's also forming a coalition of Southern governors who are working to make sure that what's happening in Louisiana comes to other places. But there was almost no fight against him from the Democratic Party. And it's honestly led to what they're calling, just political infighting amongst the Democratic Party in the state. There was recently an election to revamp the entire Democratic Party and their leadership. They just voted out the head of the party, Katie Bernhardt, who has Republican ties and honestly has just been accused of dereliction of duty. And it's honestly just been chaos. And the people of Louisiana are being caught in the crosshairs of this.
Gabrielle, are there more progressive Democrats who talk about economic justice, racial justice, and, you know, abortion rights? Do those Democrats exist in Louisiana? Do they have a voice?
There's honestly only a few. Someone that I honestly will always champion as long as she is in office is Representative Mandy Landry, who we call the Good Landry down here, who is constantly putting her constituents in New Orleans above the political infighting, above the culture wars. And anytime you hear about a piece of legislation that is trying to be pushed, it's actually for the good of Louisiana. She is always behind it. But it's a cacophony of power grabbing, of political infighting, of nonsense, and of course, of culture wars. I mean, and I really want to stress to your listeners that everything that's happening in Louisiana affects every single American, every single one. All of the bills that are currently being pushed through in Louisiana, even the ones that are blatantly unconstitutional, the ones that I mentioned on Twitter, ones that are honestly being heard today in our regular legislative session. I mean, these bills are blatantly unconstitutional. And the entire point of the introduction and passage of these bills is so that civil rights groups and activist groups can challenge them so that they can then be pushed up the line all the way to our very stacked, very conservative, very right-leaning Supreme Court so that they then can become, in the GOP's hopes, the law of the land. Mm. And that is demoralizing for so many people. And not enough is at all being done to speak about what these bills actually are. A lot of times our legislative officials down here in Louisiana will admit to you that they themselves have not read these bills. A lot of times journalists don't have time to read these bills, especially if the session is moving so fast. And so you'll kind of get sound bites, you'll get headlines that make people think that things aren't as bad as they are. But when you get to the meat of these bills being passed, it's terrifying. A perfect example of that, a bill was heard yesterday in Louisiana regular session, House Bill 608. They have dubbed this the Women's Safety and Protection Act, is its official name, but the media has decided to call this the Transgender Bathroom Bill. That is such, though terrifying and absolutely disgusting in what it is doing for the LGBTQ community, that is such a minimization of what this bill actually is. It removes all legal protections and acknowledgement of transgender people by the Louisiana government. Dead names and all that are all fair game. But also snuck inside of that bill is the removal of $7 million of funding from all domestic violence shelters in the state, wow, which will, according to advocates, will effectively shut the doors of every single one that we have. And so it's these types of things, the minimization in the media, the lack of a national eye on what's happening here that allows these people to do these things in relative safety. And it's really and truly terrifying.
I mean, it's so important to bring this up because these issues are all connected. There's a study that I wish got more attention. We're trying to talk about it as much as we can. The Journal of the American College of Surgeons found that pregnant women living in states with limited access to abortion are experiencing higher rates of intimate partner homicide, particularly by firearms. So, Gabrielle, I mean, it's just so draconian that they're banning abortion at all costs and also taking money away from domestic violence programs when people are using abortion as a weapon now, in addition to intimate partner homicide with guns. I mean, it's just really dark.
And honestly, nothing is going to be done about that in the state of Louisiana in the immediate future. I love that you brought that up because and it's so important, like you said, to understand that these things are connected. Abortion itself is a mass incarceration issue, and it's also an attack on women. For example, Louisiana incarcerates the most people per capita in the entire world. We incarcerate more people than the United States average, than all of our NATO allies combined. And 50% of this state has a criminal record. It's not that we are some kind of morally depraved state, that though most people associate crime with a moral depravity, we're no different than anyone else down here in Louisiana. But it's because of the way that we criminalize people, it's because of the way that we view our neighbors that it has come to this. And it does not make us safer. It does not make us safer to constantly put people in jail, something antithetical to the Landry administration. And it's so evident that the protection of women especially is absolutely not paramount to the Landry administration or to honestly any of our political figures here in Louisiana, that in the special session at the top of the year, they have since made it as to where not only are you allowed permitless concealed carry at 18 years old now, but Representative Senator Blake Magez has helped to pass a bill that will allow for expanded qualified immunity for police, as well as immunity from civil wrongful death suits for private citizens who kill someone with a firearm. And I'm just, when it passed, everyone was so flabbergasted, because as the women's rights groups stood up and said, hey, homicide is the number one cause of death for pregnant women in Louisiana. Why are you doing this? The GOP's response was that these people have a right to exercise their God-given right to carry. Mm. And so this is what we're fighting against in Louisiana. This is what women are fighting against. And this is the consequences of just a lack of concern for your fellow man, a lack of concern for your neighbor, a lack of concern for the future of this state.
Gabrielle Perry is founder and executive director of the Thurman Perry Foundation, an award-winning Louisiana-based nonprofit with a mission of aiding women and girls impacted by incarceration. Dwight Boulard is senior political advisor of Florida Rising, a people-powered organization made up of members advancing economic and racial justice across Florida. And Dwight, since we brought up this issue before we go to break, you're all dealing with this in Florida. So you've got the 6-week abortion ban that's going into effect on May 1st. And last month, the Florida House approved a bill that would shorten the mandatory waiting period to purchase a firearm from a licensed seller.
Yeah. Florida's been moving backwards on gun laws for quite some time. I mean, for those who remember Trayvon Martin and Jordan Davis were both from the state of Florida when they were adversely impacted and murdered at the hands of vigilante justice. And so it's important to understand that in context with where the state's moving around gun laws. What we've seen with the DeSantis administration is, again, full-on restrictions on intelligentsia, full-on restrictions on academia, full-on restrictions on women, but somehow this unearthing or the freedom to kill at will, or at least present yourself as someone who wants to kill at will. And so these are the things similar to what Gabrielle has pointed out in her state that we're combating. But I would want to lift up for folks that are listening is really the movement begins and ends in the South. When we think about the modern context of the civil rights movement, Southern states have become unfortunate incubators for bad policy, but there's a willingness and a desire to push back. Again, most African Americans are now residing in what used to be the Confederacy. One out of every four Latino voters sits between California, Florida, and Texas. So if we're going to talk about this inclusive democracy that's expansive to all people, it really begins with joining us and working in the South to make things better.
Well, after a break, we'll talk more about how advocates in the South are fighting these laws. And if you have any questions or comments for today's guests, Dwight Boulard in Florida and Gabrielle Perry in Louisiana, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll speak with two Northern California healthcare providers who just returned from Gaza. Dr. Mohamed Soubey compared the crisis to an apocalyptic horror movie. Sandy Adler-Killen, an emergency room nurse, provided support for newborns who have no access to food. Nearly 26,000 children have been killed or injured in Gaza since October 7th, according to Save the Children. Today, we are talking about how advocates in the South are fighting laws banning abortion, books, and DEI programs, also LGBTQ rights. It is so important to emphasize, like Dwight Buller did before the show, that we all need to be paying attention to what is happening in the South, because so much attention, and it is important, but so much attention is on DC and Trump and Biden. But so many of these laws are now on the books in the South. So if you have any questions for our guests, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Dwight Bullard is senior political advisor of Florida Rising, a people-powered organization made up of members advancing economic and racial justice across Florida. He served in Florida's state House and Senate and spent many years as a social studies teacher at Coral Reef Senior High in Miami, Florida. Gabrielle Perry is founder and executive director of the Thurman Perry Foundation, an award-winning Louisiana-based nonprofit with a mission of aiding women and girls impacted by incarceration. Gabrielle was inspired to start the foundation in part to her due to her own experience with the law. A judge on her case showed her leniency and dismissed her charges in time for her to return to school. She graduated from Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine in 2019, where she obtained her Master's of Public Health and Epidemiology with a concentration in infectious diseases. Dwight, can you elaborate on what you said before the break? What I find is that with these abortion bans, we know that places like California and New York and Illinois are going to have abortion on the books. And in California, they're actually funding organizations to ensure that people can fly in if needed. And that's very important, obviously. But as you said, if you live in a place like California, it is so important to pay attention to what is happening in the South. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. The former president, Donald Trump, tries to avoid his position on a national abortion ban, his minions in these states are the ones kind of testing this kind of political theory around what it means to restrict access to reproductive care, access to abortion care. So when folks are choosing to turn a blind eye to what's happening in the South, what you're really missing is the forecasting of what national politics looks like under a second Trump administration. We tried to protect America from was Ron DeSantis, because we view Ron DeSantis as an even greater threat to American democracy than Donald Trump, because he's a firm believer in the policies he passes. I would argue the same for the governor of Tennessee, you know, the governor of Alabama. These are folks that are the kind of second line, pardon the Louisiana pun, the second line of Republican MAGA-ness that's coming down the pipeline. These are the folks that you're going to have to deal with in future elections moving forward. And we need folks in those states that you mentioned to keep a keen eye on what's taking place in the South, because, again, this is just foreshadowing for what they want to do nationally.
Gabrielle, what would you add?
I would definitely, I wholeheartedly agree about this is what Republicans want to do nationally. And I think that people really have to pay attention, because it doesn't stop here. And I think that that's something that people are really learning. But I really encourage people to understand that I think that there's a misconception around what people are hoping to accomplish by voting for these different types of measures. What we found in the South, especially in places like Louisiana, is that a lot of people are not understanding truly what these laws mean. For example, a lot of people don't know that there are absolutely no exceptions for abortion in Louisiana. Regardless of what the books are saying, doctors are terrified to perform these procedures and whatnot for fear of their own medical licenses. And so what a lot of people find is that they were like, oh, okay, well, of course they'll make an exception for victims of sexual assault, or of course they'll make an exception for, you know, women who've experienced incest, or, you know, I'm experiencing an ectopic pregnancy. And so what people don't realize is that the only treatment for an ectopic pregnancy is an abortion. It's just what it is. And one in four pregnancies, period, are ectopic, but they don't call that an abortion. That's something else. That's something, you know, that doesn't count as an abortion in their mind. So a lot of people don't understand the true ramifications of what these bills are and what they're doing. And they also don't understand the criminal penalties that are coming about for these bills. In Louisiana right now, doctors face about 15 years or up to 15 years in prison and $200,000 in fine, plus the loss of their medical license for performing abortions here. But last year, Representative Danny McCormick introduced a bill that has since been pulled, but it will come back around. We're all gearing ourselves up for it. He voluntarily introduced a bill that would qualify abortion as homicide in the state of Louisiana, which would make it eligible for the death penalty. Mm. And I think that the national headline surrounding that was something that Louisiana itself was not used to. We're used to being able to do these things in the dark. I don't think anybody thought that, you know, that would, you know, bring the bells nationally and get so many different eyes, NBC, MSNBC, things like that, on that bill, that he voluntarily pulled it. Because we don't like a lot of fuss. We don't like a lot of muss down here in Louisiana. We want things very quiet. That's also why there are many bills being introduced to hide public records and make it costly for people to obtain public records in the state of Louisiana. And so it's all the more important now that people understand that you have to pay attention to what is happening in the South, because like Mrs. Dwight Bullitt said, like, this is the incubator. This is where they practice these bills. This is where they flesh out what is possible for the rest of the country. They do it on us because no one's looking. Mm.
It's also important to follow the money, because a lot of these bills are copycats. And we used to do a lot of shows about ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which was funded by major corporations. They write the bills, and then they're introduced by Republican governors. And as you said, Gabrielle, some of the politicians don't even read the bill. They just pass them. So can you talk about that? Dwight, what are your thoughts on this? Have you spent much time following the money and finding out really where these bills are coming from? Because in many cases, this is not specifically just a Florida issue. These are copycat bills that are happening across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you invoked ALEC. You know, when I was in the legislature, there was a lot of emphasis on trying to break up ALEC. You had legislators literally filing ALEC bills to the point where ALEC was mentioned in the language of the bill, because they didn't remove that. They were so quick to cut and paste that they were forgetting to do that. But I think the danger that we face now is that what was ALEC, you know, kind of the one place where they could all go get this bad policy from, you now have it broken into all these different entities, all these kind of pop-up so-called think tanks or 501c3 organizations that are really just opportunities to funnel dark money through a process, you know, whether it's the Moms for Liberty of the world that are kind of spearheading many of the book bans across the country, or these other entities that are funding these exercises around ending abortion rights, and especially attacks on the LGBTQ+ community. That's what we're seeing, and a lot of people, you know, kind of get taken aback by the names of these organizations. You know, a lot of them will use the term like Americans for X or the Freedom This or Patriots for that. Hmm. And people are thinking that these people are concerned about the betterment of America, when all they're really trying to do is push a particular agenda on restriction, you know, secure the bottom line for corporations and making sure that, you know, they're providing additional tax benefits for these folks that are sponsoring this thing. And so this is something, again, when we talk about folks in other states, what they need to pay attention to is, to your point, follow the money, find out who's funding these operations, and understand that, again, to the point that Gabrielle raised, they're using it to fund these experiments in states like Louisiana, Florida, Arkansas, Tennessee, and so many others that they really want to bring to the rest of the country.
Gabrielle, do you have anything to add on following the money and the groups behind these laws?
I think it's so important to think beyond what we're seeing currently, where these different conversations come from, why all of a sudden these very needless bills are coming to play and whatnot. And I think that all comes from following the money. I think that also there needs to be, I wish that I could say that money was the primary issue in Louisiana, because I mean, if we're going to be honest about it, Governor Landry was elected by 14% of the vote in the state of Louisiana, and turnout for voting, and I'm not one to get on my soapbox about that. There are a multitude of reasons why people don't show up to vote in certain places in the South. And it's not due to apathy. But there's just not, honestly, enough money being put into the opposition to these bills. I think that what the Democratic Party is seeing is that empty platitudes are not going to do it anymore. And there has to be something beyond saying you're going to address a problem and actually working to address that problem. I think the number one thing that we hear on the streets in terms of being tapped in with the grassroots organizations and with the actual people of Louisiana and our sister state in Mississippi, who are often going through the same things, is that, you know, the Republicans can get it done. We never hear about them needing, you know, all these different things before they can start moving and shaking. They constantly get things done. Yes, these things are very evil and terrible, but they constantly get things done. Whereas Democrats have sort of resigned themselves to incrementalism and to, you know, waiting and seeing and things of that nature. And I think that this new party, especially being made up of Gen Z voters, is just not here for that anymore. And that is going to affect your money. That is going to affect your donations. That is going to affect the influx of interest from the national groups that want to help you. I think the first time we really saw that in the South was during the last gubernatorial election in Texas. You saw the galvanization of a people by a candidate that was like, hey, this is what I'm going to do if you elect me. And from that came money, from that came support. And so it can't just be about following the money of the people that are putting these terrible bills up. That's educational. It's good about knowing where these things are coming from, but there has to be money put into the opposition as well. Otherwise, we're all just watching our fates be sealed.
Gabrielle Perry is founder and executive director of the Thurman Perry Foundation, a Louisiana-based nonprofit with a mission of aiding women and girls impacted by incarceration. We're also joined today by Dwight Bullard, senior political advisor of Florida Rising, a people-powered organization made up of members advancing economic and racial justice across Florida. Let's spend our remaining minutes talking about how advocates in the South are responding to these draconian measures. And I also just want to mention, because I think this is so important, it deserves so much more attention. NPR reported on a report by Physicians for Human Rights that found some women in Louisiana are forced to undergo cesarean section surgeries to empty their uterus and avoid infection instead of receiving an abortion procedure or medication. We've got a link on our website to a very important essay that was written by Caitlin Joshua in Louisiana. And she writes, "I no longer feel safe being pregnant in Louisiana, not as a Black woman who received inadequate and delayed medical care while enduring a painful miscarriage because of my home state's abortion ban." There's just so many devastating stories like that. And then you've got the book bans in Florida. According to reports, there were, I want to make sure I get this number right, 2,700 books that have been targeted for removal from library shelves. And then you've got attacks on DEI programs across the country, attacks on LGBTQ programs and people across the country with real consequences, especially for the LGBTQ communities. So, Dwight, what do you want us to know, because this doesn't get as much attention as it deserves, is how are advocates in Florida and across the South fighting back against these laws?
Well, yeah, thank you for asking. I mean, we're rejecting this notion. I mean, we have, you know, small business owners, small bookstore owners that are giving discounts on purchases of what are considered so-called banned books. You're seeing banned book clubs pop up all over Florida. We're currently have an active petition pushing back against the firing of DEI employees and shutting down of the DEI office at the University of Florida. Encourage people to go to our website and sign that petition. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, you know, we were part of a driving force that got over 1.5 million signatures to get abortion on the ballot for November. And so we're now trying to educate voters throughout the state of Florida and beyond Florida about how this fight is going and how we're going to try and transform Florida one constitutional amendment at a time. And so we're looking forward to taking this to the streets, to telling folks about what it is and really kind of framing our story, because we don't want people believing for a second that Florida, which is known for its beaches and sunshine and Disney World, is some bastion of Republican negativity. We want them to know that there's still fight in the people of Florida, and we expect to showcase that in November.
Can you also, given that you taught for many years as a social studies teacher at Coral Reef Senior High in Miami, all of the attacks on public education, you talked about their underground libraries and these pop-up libraries, which is amazing to see. Can you also talk about how teachers in Florida are responding to these attacks?
Well, listen, the attack on teachers is something that feels like it needs to be a conversation for a whole hour. And the reason I say that is because we started off our year with a 9,000 teacher shortage in the state of Florida. That is when schools opened, there were 9,000 vacant teaching positions across the state of Florida that have, in many cases, still have yet to be filled. So we're seeing this national attack on the teaching profession. And what it's causing is a chilling effect. People don't want to go into the profession. People don't feel supported. And that carries over across the board. When I served in the legislature, I was the only teacher that was elected in 2008. I was the only, you know, active teacher in the Senate when I was elected in 12. And so the absence of those voices in those spaces means that people who have no clue what it's like to work every day in the classroom are making decisions that are going to impact those classrooms. And so what I would leave my teacher friends across the country with is we need more teachers running for office, every level. And then more importantly, if there's been a teacher who's impacted your life in a positive way, now's the time to kick in and support education in the most militant way possible. You know, we need people to join their PTAs. We need people to keep an eye on their school boards. And more importantly, we need people to continue to invest in public education.
We'll definitely do many shows about teachers and educations in the coming months. We'd love to have you back to talk more about that. Gabrielle, what would you like to add? We have about 3 minutes. Can you talk about the activism that is happening in Louisiana?
Absolutely. I think what you're seeing for the first time in a while is that with people understanding that intersectionality of all these issues, there's so many collaboratory efforts that are happening now on the ground, because people are understanding that all these issues are connected in terms of abortion. People, like I mentioned earlier, all the criminal justice aspects of that issue, you now see organizations that were solely about women's rights and things of that nature collaborating with the criminal justice reform organizations, collaborating with the women's health issues organizations, collaborating with healthcare units and universities and things of that nature. People are talking to each other, and that's really, really important. I think what's also been seen from that is a bolstering of the funding needed for Louisiana Abortion Fund, which is honestly making sure that women can at least travel away from Louisiana to our closest state, which is Illinois, for these women to be able to obtain the reproductive health care that they have a right to. When it comes to, LGBTQ activism, the state is really up in arms and how these people are being treated. I know that given the book banning bills and whatnot, people are seeing the overlap between anti-LGBTQ discrimination and the threats to our librarians. There was a hearing today, in fact, about librarians being sentenced to 2 years in prison or $10,000 of fines if they are to associate with the American Library Association. That is not an exaggeration. That is an absolute fact. And that bill is being heard today. And then I think that from these conversations are coming a willingness of people to see the humanity in each other and understand that all these issues are connected, and that the only way we're going to be able to get through the next 4 years of a Landry administration and whatever's going to happen in November on the national stage with the presidential election, we will only be able to get through these things by working together and collaborating together.
And we have 2 minutes left. I'd love to hear your thoughts on media coverage of all of this. Gabrielle, what are your thoughts on how the major media networks cover these issues in the South?
In terms of the South in general, it's abysmal. I think it's easy to get clickbait because people aren't reporting from the humanity of the people who live down here. They're reporting from just the ostentatiousness of the issues themselves. Like, they can't believe, like, oh, look what the South is doing today. And it's more so of a comedic lens of what's happening to us down here. But there are 9 million people in the state of Louisiana, and we matter too. The South matters. Everything happening in the South is going to eventually be extrapolated onto you. And so you have to look at us with some kind of dignity and some kind of humanity. These things are not happening to us because we vote for them. In fact, Louisiana is an excellent example of that, because our voting district map in and of itself has been ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. We have been gerrymandered into submission, and we are fighting with everything that we have to stop it. And we cannot do it alone. So the coverage of this has got to change from almost a comedic lens or a pity lens into how can we help them? Because this affects us too.
Ah, such a good point. And Dwight, there are 22 million people in Florida. What are your thoughts about media coverage of these issues? We have about 30 seconds left.
We need more of it. We need more coverage of the South. You know, what is happening in these states, the duplication of different bills is egregious. But again, as Gabrielle pointed out, and I raised earlier, it's coming to your state, or it's coming to Congress soon. And so we need to, you know, to cut off the head of the snake early.
Dwight Boulard is senior political advisor of Florida Rising, an organization fighting for economic and racial justice. He served in Florida's state House and Senate and spent many years as a social studies teacher at Coral Reef Senior High School in Miami, Florida. Gabrielle Perry is founder and executive director of the Thurman Perry Foundation, an award-winning Louisiana-based nonprofit with a mission of aiding women and girls impacted by incarceration. She was also impacted by incarceration. The judge on her case showed her leniency and dismissed her charges in time for her to graduate from Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine in 2019. Dwight and Gabrielle, thank you for your work, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. This is great.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call.